for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shelton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. Today on the show, we talk about Christianity.
Our attitudes changing.
And more LGBT plus history.
That'll be those bisexual, gender fluid Swedish queens. No, I didn't say ABBA.
All today right here on Shout Out. Was that my line?
I don't know. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Lucy.
Hi. Hello. Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Long time no see or hear.
It's been a while.
Yes. Busy girl.
Well, you know, jobs and that.
Yeah.
They've been known to happen.
I'd just like to make a point because we've had quite a few people thinking that the romance between Andy and myself is over and I'm having a new one with Rebecca.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, I mean, who do you prefer, Andy or Rebecca? Who's better?
I don't know.
I'm glad you asked that, not me.
I was just going to say, you know.
Shall I toss a coin?
Andy's lovely. Come on.
Andy is lovely.
What's not like about him?
Yeah.
Will you be my backup on air romance?
Your backup wingman? Yeah. Well, or backup radio wife?
We're presenting together next week.
We are, yes,
so
I know.
I can replace Steffi with you next week.
There you go.
All right, then, fine.
I shouldn't say that. Rebecca's in later because she's doing the interview and Steph's broadcasting with me. So I'm just going to sit in the corner and be quiet later.
Yes, and you're too far away to slap, as usual.
Now, can I say happy birthday to BCFM from everyone at Shout Out? BCFM is 10 years old.
Yes. Isn't it actually today?
Well, not literally today, but we're having a birthday month.
Okay.
You know, a bit like my husband does, but like a birthday week. They're having,
yeah, but it takes BCFM a week to get over it.
Yeah.
Is there a birthday present every day? Is that how it works?
Well, there is loads of events going on. So if you're listening on one of the other stations we go out on, BCFM is having tons of events throughout out the month. So yeah. Well worth checking
M-shed.
Out.
M-shed.
So.
M-shed. This Sunday, yeah.
Yes, in fact, there's something going on Saturday as well. I forget what it is now. Yep. We'll ask Ella later.
And next Tuesday as well at the Venus Bar, Gloucester Road, there's the International Women's Day.
Oh, right, okay, I'll add that to the list.
Women in media.
Next
sorry,
Wednesday.
We're doing your events
not,
for
no,
you.
No, you're not, no, sorry. The International Women's Day is next week.
Play the jingle, Andy,
you know,
we're taking over
Out Shout. I'll add that to the list, don't worry.
Sorry, Lucy, no time for Out Shout.
Oh. No, we'll actually say that.
Made my job easy.
We're over, so I will start. Here you go, Lucy.
Okay.
I can tell you, by the way, because it's on the wall, I've just realised, beside me. Isn't that efficient of a station?
It's very good.
It's called Love Your Community on the 4th of March, and it's at the Easton Community Centre. And then on the 5th, it's the 10th BCFM 10 exhibition and live broadcast, which is coming from the
M-shed. There you go. You heard it here first. Andy can actually read.
I can read. You cheat. So, at least I get my lines right.
I got my lines right as well.
You just read mine.
Guys.
Well, I read yours because I thought the ABBA bit was...
Guys.
Sorry.
Anyway.
That's just something where Lucy's telling us something, isn't it? Right, Lucy, what are we doing?
Right, tomorrow I go to the cinema. I'll go to the cinema and watch. We love Queer Vision. We love their programming. And they're doing something in conjunction with Bristol Pride. And tomorrow they're going to be showing The Handmaiden, which is an excellent film.
You're a big fan of it, aren't you?
I am a big fan,
Why are you a big fan?
Because it's brilliant. Because it's an adaptation by a director who I really like, of a book that I really like. So I'll start with the book. The book is Sarah Waters' Fingersmith, which pretty much is like a lesbian classic, basically. It's got every single awesome lesbian, crazy, gothic, horror, mad woman cliche that you could think of.
Oh, right,
literally, like double crossing, fake identities, mad women in the attic, the lot, and a bit of lesbian sex as well. So it's like a brilliant, brilliant novel. And basically, it's been adapted by this fantastic Korean director Chan Wook Park, who's probably best known for a film that came out in 2003 called Old Boy, which is this really over the top, crazy, visually sumptuous, utterly bat something crazy tale of violence and revenge and double crossing and mistaken identity and double crossing.
Lucy, this it's a guy who wrote all about.
Sarah Waters wrote the book, but it has been adapted by this Korean director.
Right.
And this film is, I mean, it is a lot, and it is fantastic.
So have you actually seen the film? That's
I have seen
tomorrow?
The film, yes. It's
and
beautiful.
Is it as mad as it sounds?
It is as mad as it sounds. And don't get me wrong, I mean, honestly, if you can't just describe it to people, they might go, ugh. You need to go in with an open mind. It's a very long film, but it is visually gorgeous, and it is pretty full on, but it is an amazing adaptation. Yeah. So please get yourself down to the Watershed and watch this film.
Cool. Do we know when? What time?
Yeah, it's Friday, and it's at 8:30, and tickets are £9 if you're paying full price, and then £6.54 concessions.
Yeah, cool. So, I think we got
Jane is due in next week.
Yes,
so give us a rundown on what's happening with obviously Queer Vision and approaching Pride.
Yeah. Yeah, I know she goes off and sees tons of films.
Mm. She does.
To pick the ones. Yeah. And the ones that they pick for Pride, that Pride week itself, are always amazing.
Mm.
But of course, they got bigger, hence why they're doing films all through the year. So,
well, no, it's great.
Lucy, I have to point out, Lucy did literally jump out of her seat earlier when I said, "Have you seen this?"
Yeah, no, I do love this film. But I mean, I like the director. I mean, if you've ever seen Old Boy, that film is just an absolute trip for the senses. It got remade very badly 10 years later, of course it did, by the English language, but the original Korean version is just awesome. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it is quite a long, it's over 2 hours, it's 2 and a bit hours this film, so you're in for a ride.
That. If a film's good and worth watching, I don't mind it being over 2 hours.
And the themes are just great. I mean, just everything about it. I mean, are you familiar with Fingersmith, Steph?
No.
Andy, any of
no.
you? Because there was a BBC adaptation of it about 10 years
but
ago.
But that was sort of very good.
Yeah. No, it was all right. It was quite a good adaptation. I mean, it's Victorian Gothic horror and double crossing and mistaken identity and a bit of lesbianing. I mean, what's not like? It's got like everything you could want for a good weekend. So go see that. Go see that on Friday. And then on Saturday, help us celebrate International Women's Day.
Isn't this Saturday?
No, it's on Wednesday.
Oh, right, okay.
So this is why I'm confusing you. But International Women's Day is on Wednesday. But on Saturday, the M Shed, Bristol Women's Voice, have got a whole day of programming at the M Shed, a whole event from 11 till 5. And that is free. And that is a whole long dialogue about, you know, women leaders, women in public spaces and women's voices. So if you want to go do some good international women type activities, there's that going on in the M Shed. So Friday, Watershed. Saturday, M Shed.
It's really funny. I walked past the M Shed the other day with the other half. We went to Cargo One, which is new containers.
Yeah, we're all
there
over
with
that.
The restaurants.
Right. Yeah.
We went there for lunch. And when we were walking back, we decided, let's just walk down the front. And the two cranes were having a conversation in Bristolian with each other. It was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, wow.
It does
wish
sound
I'd
a little bit
that.
Like Steph, only a lot more high-pitched.
Careful.
Genuinely, they were having it. They got flashy lights for eyes in the top as well.
I do like those cranes. Yeah. I do like those cranes.
Have you ever heard them talk?
I've never heard them talk, though.
I don't know they talked.
I feel like I've been met.
It's a bit like Thomas the Tank.
Well, there is a tank engine there.
Yeah. Does he talk?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he just goes up and down. He just goes back and forth. Yeah.
And he's not doing that at the moment because the track's closed where they're doing all the metro works.
Did the little
they take it out and clean it and like.
Was the twirly crane twirling? That's my favourite Saturday activity.
They were having a conversation about the history of Bristol and talking about all the things you could see from when you were stood underneath the crane. It was absolutely hilarious. But it was really well done. I had no idea these two cranes even had flashy lights in them, let alone actually talk to each other.
But watching that, you thought of me.
I think it was a Bristolian accent that did it.
That's getting as rare as hen's teeth, Bristolian accent.
Well, precisely,
not in Bristol.
Yeah.
No one, absolutely. So so Friday, lesbian erotic thriller by a noted Korean sort of auteur.
You don't know what the rating for that is, do you?
Almost certainly 18. I'll just check. Hang on. It's really not suitable for work, I've got to say. Hang on. I'll have to... Oh, it doesn't have... Yeah, no, it's an 18.
It's an 18.
That doesn't surprise me at all. There's some slight kink as well in it. Not really, but mild.
Okay,
there's all sorts going on.
Because, of course, there are under 18s that listen to the show. So just in case, sorry guys,
yeah, you can't
we'll
go see it.
We'll be able to go.
You can't go see it. But when you're 18, go see it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Cool. Thank you very much, Lucy.
No problem.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A lovely bit of Coldplay and a hymn for the weekend. I really like that song. It's a real kind of like mellow.
It's track. Quite Coldplay in here, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's nothing cool, actually. It's really hot out in the green room.
Hot.
Hot, yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's getting hot in here too, isn't it? Yeah.
It certainly is.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hello, my love.
Hello, my darling.
You okay?
Very well. How are you, Steph?
Good, I'm always fine. Forget. I can just go like that, can't I? Hello, Rebecca. I'm sorry.
Some people. I love you just as much.
No, my other half said he was listening back to the podcast the other day at work, and he was like, "God, listen to Steph and that new girl. They're getting all lovey dovey. You've been dumped, haven't you, darling?" He said to me.
She wouldn't dump you that easily.
No, I'm trying to cling on here, Andy.
Oh, okay. So anyway, do you want to tell us what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're
this,
talking
so.
A first for a shout out to deal with Christianity and the LGBT plus community. I think Mary was saying that, and Mary's in the studio now, Shout Out's always wanted to do something like this because obviously there are LGBT plus people that are Christians and probably many other religions.
Yes, well, our very own Rose, of course, is Christian as well. So
it's a subject that is very sensitive, but Rebecca has kindly done a lot of reading over the years. And is going to start what could be a good series.
It sounds like you've been almost kind of on a journey doing this kind of discovery from what I read.
I really am. And that makes me feel a bit selfish about it all, to be honest. But having been raised a Christian and then in my early 20s, kind of thrown it all, going, it's all rubbish, the whole world hates me, as you do, and being very angry because I felt that I was surrounded by very judgmental people. And I felt like this book was there to tell us what to do. And I was in that phase of my life where I was like, well, how dare you tell me what to do? Like, how dare you tell me how to do things and how to live my life?
Now, by this book, obviously, the Bible.
And it was interesting. A lot of life happened between then and about 3 years ago. My daughter started school and slowly but surely my faith returned. But I was floored completely by the prejudice within some churches. And I say that, you know, this is not a rash generalisation of everything, but towards the LGBT community. Because in my naivety, I believed that had been long gone. You know, to me, everybody is just everybody and we all just crack on. I haven't been able to get my head around it.
Would it be true to say it's more vocal in the church? Do you think it's more it's just more there?
I think what shocks me a bit is the fact it is one book,
yeah,
and one God,
yes.
And whether you're Christian or Muslim, it's just one book, one God, and yet the factions within that one book and one God. You look at how many churches are in just the United States alone.
Terrifying.
And yet they've all got different viewpoints.
Versus things like Catholicism.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking about Christianity, but you could be talking about Protestant and Catholics who fought each other. We've got the Shias and the Sunnis who are fighting each other because they believe in a slightly different version of the same thing.
Exactly.
And then there's the LGBT plus community trying to get in amongst it.
And this was one of them. This was part of my motivation and my drive that to kind of understand, you know, you're never going to have all the answers where religion's concerned, ever. But we can try to understand the viewpoints of others. And I think having been raised Christian and having a grandmother who was devout and highly involved with her church, her godson was gay. It was never a conversation. She went to his wedding. Well, you know, at the time it was civil partners before the church, he was able to get married in a church. But there was no discussion. It just happened. And so for me to then be in the situation, which I've talked about briefly before, about my daughter in school and being asked why I took her to Pride, it suddenly dawned on me that actually I'd been wandering around with these really rather rose-tinted glasses and I needed to wake up and smell the coffee and see what was going on.
Well, I don't think there's a failing on your part, though. I mean, it should be like that. You shouldn't have to worry.
No, exactly.
In an ideal world.
It should be about love.
It should be
and
about love.
Obviously, a lot of Christianity is not.
Are you two going down this love
route
again?
Hate.
Thing is, it's really hard because I just love love. I just don't understand why. And it's completely idealistic. But we should be able to, and that's the root of the Bible. A lot of the Bible talks about love, loving each other, being tolerant of each other, you know, looking after each other.
Well, we all know the phrase "love thy neighbour."
Exactly,
a very classic one, isn't
exactly.
it? So, how did it change your feelings of religion? Then, did it make your belief less strong when you heard other people being?
It shook my belief beyond words.
Really?
Yeah. Completely to the pit of my stomach. Where I suddenly thought, hold on a minute, these are all the reasons why, in the beginning, you know, in my early 20s, I threw it all away. It kind of almost, but well, there you go, Becca. You were right in the first instance. But then I started to think about it more and then meet more people and talk about it. And I think that's another key about kind of what we're trying to do here is it's talking about it. People don't. You know, people don't tend to talk about Christianity and LGBT communities unless you're in it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from, where you lose it. I mean, I do remember I had recently come out to my parents. They discovered it was only like a year or so later, and my cousin got married, and they're Catholic. And I can remember being at the wedding, and I think they call them priests. Is it priests in Catholicism? Was up the front and made a purposeful 5-minute full-on speech about how bad homosexuality was, to the point where my mum actually turned around and put her hand on my chest and said, "Stay exactly where you are. Don't make a scene." Because they still weren't comfortable with me being gay at that point. They hadn't quite come to terms with it. But I just remember being fuming that there was no need for it. It was in the middle of a wedding and it didn't need to be said.
No,
I'm just giving an example, you know. But it doesn't stop me from believing that there is a God as such.
No, exactly. And I think it's so interesting because I saw something only today about a guy who was asked to go and be the elder of one of the churches and actually stand up and conduct a funeral for one of his friends. And he actually said, "I'm doing this funeral in this particular area. There's going to be lots of people there, so please wish me luck and pray for me. There's going to be lots of gay people there as well." And I didn't really I was just reading it, like, flicked up, and I was like, I don't really understand what the relevance
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I make a comment? Because what you were just saying, Andy, about the situation that you had in a Catholic church, I had something really similar happen when I was quite young, and I was at a church that we all went to as a family, and someone got up to do the prayers. Someone new from the congregation would do it every week, and they said, "Dear God, please stop the homosexuals from giving us AIDS." This was in the 80s. Yeah, this was what was said.
My experience was 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know. But what I want to say about that is, like, that was one of the things that made me vacate that church, I have to say.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it recently to somebody else who I'd recently been back in touch with, who had been an adult in that church at the time. And I said, "Look, to be honest, one of the reasons why I never went back there was because this comment was made." And he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "Things happened after that comment. What you didn't know, because you were a child and we were adults, is that things were said about that, and that person was not allowed to do those prayers again. And lots of people were told that wasn't an acceptable thing to say." Now, I had no idea that that had happened. So I think sometimes when we hear these things being said and no one immediately jumps up and says, that's wrong, we're actually... we don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
No.
And maybe, just maybe, we're doing a few people a disservice.
Well, to say it's the entire church would be a lie.
We're not saying that, but I just thought that was a really specific example of something from my life that really happened that I didn't know the whole story of.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've been, you know, I'm really, really aware of, you know, with the research and the people that I've been speaking to, that, you know, it's not... we're not doing a massive blanket cover of all Christians don't engage with the LGBT community, because that's not the case at all. But I think it's just interesting to try it. For me, I just want to come out of the whole thing understanding why I'm a Christian who just loves everybody and doesn't worry about
who you love and
who people love.
Who you love. I don't. Yeah. I genuinely don't care.
So, you know? Rebecca, going back to what we were saying, one book, all the Christian factions, and I guess the other religious factions as well, are reading their book, which all starts off with love, and yet people pick out the hate sections and say, well, no, he said this, he said that, and then they begin to hate. But surely I always believed religion was based on love, and now all of a sudden there's so much hate going, especially
in the
US.
I don't think it's all of a sudden. It's been, well, been there for a long, long time, hasn't
it? But more to do with the LGBT community. As the LGBT plus community has come out and got more rights and got more popular and
more
vocal.
Well, it was the marriage, wasn't it? Kicked off a lot of debate.
Yeah. So Christian factions, and I suppose it's the conservative factions in this case, are kicking back.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I spoke to somebody who explained it as the Bible that they, the way they follow it in one particular church setting, was that they followed the Bible to the letter. But as I explained to them, I'm divorced. I'm never going to not be divorced. So what's the there is no difference. I'm remarried now. Now, if I was gay, if I then became a Christian, I would still be gay. I wouldn't not be a Christian anymore. So what is the difference between being, you know, in, when you're looking at things that will never change, and you know, immovable objects, what's the difference? And it's really, really interesting.
Can I just say something from the Gospel of Thomas, which was probably the earliest dated back to 200. Mm-hmm. So it was actually written in his time by supposedly his twin brother, Jesus's twin brother, Thomas. The kingdom of God is inside
Lord, you did your research,
and
didn't you?
All about
I
you.
I knew you were going to read this one.
Not in buildings of wood and stone. When I am gone, split the piece of wood and I am there. Lift a stone and you will find me. How anti-church can that be? And that was out of Jesus' own mouth. Mm. So don't let the church control you, because that's the power of man controlling each individual.
Yes.
That's how I see the church. It's a controlling factor. And I know it does good for a lot of people. An awful lot of people turn to the church and different religions for help and guidance in low periods. And that is fine. Yeah. But
it's possible to have faith, though, without being that strict.
That statement is from the Gospel of Thomas. It's allowing you to go direct to God. Don't go via man
and
to God.
Well, it's that's kind of it. I think the thing that I want to get the most is I'm desperate to speak to people. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you know, if you want to talk about being LGBT Christian or not, if you've got a view, you know, I really want to hear it.
And whatever you think, like whether you agree with things that we've said on the show or not, you know, it's actually about everyone's opinion.
I want the entire picture. I'm not, you know, I don't just want to see it from one angle.
It is quite a divisive one, isn't it?
Very.
So it is nice. I will say it is very nice to see there are a lot of stories hitting the press at the moment in this country where there's a lot more acceptance starting to come about.
And that's,
you know,
that's how.
And we do have gay Christian groups as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Loads of them. Mm. Loads. I've come across loads recently.
Yeah, and we don't want to in any way say you can't be LGBT and Christian.
No, that's not where
we're... Of course it's not true.
No, we just want to understand it.
So, well, listen, if you want to get in touch, as always, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt. I have a feeling this is one we're probably going to come back to. It's a very difficult one to approach.
Really difficult.
But we've had quite a few things put on Facebook posts that when I posted about the show. One guy, and I'm sorry I don't remember your name, has recommended a Buddhist church who's very pro-LGBT. So maybe we can expand this eventually as the year goes on from Christianity as we get more experts available and bring them in for their viewpoints.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, listen, news headlines is up next. Rebecca, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
It's not an easy one to talk about, but let us know your views. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Panic at the Disco.
It is a panic.
That's called The Emperor's New Clothes. I love that one. Do you know when I first ever played that song on the show, we got inundated with people going, oh, that's so cool, that's really good, what is that song? So I do try and stick it in the show every now and again. It's
you
real
do try and stick it to the show. Oh, sorry, stick it in the show, sorry.
Thank you.
Is it time for the news, Tara, do you think?
Yes, might be.
You're in this piece now.
So, right. I'm noticing,
sensible people.
Yes. I'm noticing it's the people on the other side of the desk that are very much telling us what to do on this show today. Have you noticed?
Yeah, well, they're telling you to behave, I think.
So, right, let's get some news headlines then.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 2nd of March, 2017.
Last week's by-election results in Copeland and Stoke on Trent Central brought about some comfort for LGBT and equal rights campaigners in a troubled times. The two by-elections had been triggered by the resignations of the sitting MPs in the previous few months. At Stoke, two of the most anti-gay political parties in Britain spectacularly failed to make any headway. David Furness for the British National Party, which had lurched ever further to the right after the collapse of its vote in recent years, polled just 124 votes. The Christian People's Alliance, which is also based on a doctrine of heterosexual supremacy, scraped a meagre 109 and came second from last in a long ballot paper of small parties and independent candidates.
BBC4 Television profiled gay artist David Hockney on Sunday evening, with a programme that included previously unseen footage of the artist at home and work. Born in 1937, Hockney is considered one of the 20th century's great British pop artists and has always used gay themes in his work.
Much mirth has been spreading across the LGBT and progressive web in the last couple of days at the news that a German family who had moved to Russia's Siberian outback in protest of the sexual permissiveness of the West have now fled the country. Dissident radio station Radio Free Europe says that Russian-born Eugene Martins and his 10 children have moved to a desolated region called Novosibirsk Oblast back in December. Martins had told reporters at the time that they wanted to get away from what had been described as sexual permissiveness in Germany and refugees, hinting that he was not a racist. Now, however, the family have fled back to Germany, with a family friend telling Russian state media that they had left from their old home in February 24th. Radio Free Europe did not speculate as to what reason the family had for moving back to the sexually permissive West.
Centrist candidate for the French presidency Emmanuel Macron says that he isn't gay, according to Radio France International. It may seem a strange thing to say in an interview, particularly when the interview is one with one of the France's top-selling gay magazines, Tattoo. However, Mr. Macron was faced with many rumours that he's leading a double life, and his expansive interview is designed to address these head-on. Macron also needs to build bridges with France's LGBT plus community, with remarks he made expressing his understanding of those who opposed the Republic's move to allow same-sex marriage and adoption rights. Both of these hard-won freedoms will be under threat from the right wing in the forthcoming presidential elections. The Times newspaper, meanwhile, suggests Macron will still beat the extreme rightist candidate Marine Le Pen.
LGBT groups have given a cautious welcome to the ruling of a court in Bristol, which handed down a fine and conviction for a religiously aggravated offence on two street preachers. The court also ordered the pair to pay costs totalling more than £3,000, the bulk of which will be paid for by the fundamentalist Christian groups, according to BBC Bristol News. One of the men, Michael Overed of Creech St Michael, has previously been in trouble for aggressively homophobic preaching. On this occasion, Overhead, plus an American fundamentalist, made verbal attacks on gay people and then went on a tirade against them, against Islam. According to the Bristol Post newspaper, they told followers of non-Christian religions that they were worshipping the devil. A crowd of more than 50 local shoppers were said to have applauded when the police intervened to arrest the men last summer.
And finally, a story that will move many LGBT people to tears, but in a good way. The Right Reverend John Raw, the Bishop of Bradwell, has written to his parishioners to explain that the cancer he has been battling for 3 years is now considered to be terminal. But in spite of this, the bishop intends to stay on in his role. And in his letter, he urges the religious people of good faith to come together to advance the understanding of non-traditional relationships within the church, including same-sex marriage. Raw notes that it will take time for the Church of England to change, but gradually it is moving forward. Gender, he said, is a secondary issue. What is more important is the nature of the relationship that we have with one another.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Michelle Graham McMorrow
and Tara Fraser.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
See what I mean, though? That said, non-traditional relationships in that news article.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that something that they were using in the interview just then?
Well, no, but we were talking about the issues around, you know, having a faith and being LGBT plus.
Yeah.
You know, and it's things like that when guaranteed homosexuality has been around since the dawn of time. So how can it not be traditional?
Yes, exactly.
See what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, bit of a sideline.
No, it's true. But it's good that there is actually good people with, you know, good faith.
Good hearts, yeah.
Who are just trying to, you know, share the understanding.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, and I loved your word, by the way.
Sorry.
Novosibirsk.
Novosibirsk Oblast.
I don't envy you. I'd have had Terry do that one. He's the only one who manages those mouthfuls.
Smiling when he gave it, I think.
Anyway, stay with us. We're going to be doing... we're talking
part
history.
Three.
Yeah, part
yes,
three.
Part three yes. of Ellis' history Condemned of the LGBT plus
really
community.
Well. Yeah.
Great.
She's a popular girl.
Yes. Which one are we on about? Ella. What we're talking about?
Ella. With her history series.
Yeah. So anyway, stay with this.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's Heathens by 21 Pilots. I spelt that wrong on the script too.
I need to keep an eye on you, don't I?
I typed it really quick. It was because I was busy yattering.
There's lots
to you
of red,
last night.
Lots of red marks and circles on that script.
But listeners probably don't realise. But we do talk about the show quite a lot before we come on air. Don't
Shock
we?
Horror!
Yeah, and I think you and I were on the phone for nearly 2 hours last night, or something, sitting chattering away about
we
everything.
We talk to each other a lot, much, don't we, my love?
Are you trying to dismiss the rumours?
Dismiss the rumours? Well, because I like Rebecca as well. I'm hedging my bets.
I like Ella. I'm going to stick with Ella. It's fine. Hello, Ella.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
What did I write down? I couldn't remember what it was we exactly called it last week, so I looked it up on your notes. We were talking about bisexual gender-fluid Swedish queens.
We are talking about gender-fluid Swedish queens. We are also talking about bisexual convent-raiding opera stars.
So, nice. Bisexual gender-fluid Swedish queens.
Yes.
Oh, it didn't play. Yeah?
Wait, hang on a second.
Sorry, did I throw you a bit? I can do it again if you like.
He's so sweet. You know what? I'm gonna have to take a page out of one of these people's book. Okay, so you want to start with Swedish queens. Let's start with Swedish queens.
No, I don't mind what we start. It just when you said that, the first thing that came into my head was ABBA.
All right, well, let's save Queen Christina for the grand finale. But if anyone's heard the name, and they might have done, because there was a film and a TV show, do keep listening. Let's start, however, with Julie Daubigny or La Maupin. La Maupin...
French, obviously.
Yes. Very...
Or Belgium?
French. A wild, wild, wild person. Julie was a 17th century French opera singer and fencing master, better known as Mademoiselle Maupin or La Maupin. She killed or wounded at least 10 men in life-or-death duels, performed nightly shows on the biggest and most highly respected opera stage in the world, and once took holy orders so that she could keep seeing the nun that she was in love with before burning down the convent and escaping with said nun.
Okay. Which century are we in here, by the way?
1600s.
So
she needed a bit of HRT by the sound of it.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's a country.
She didn't kill people at the opera, though, did she?
She did once bite off a man's ear on stage. He was her lover. And they made up afterwards, I think. She was
a
very...
Good Lord, sounds like a mix of HRT and Valium.
No, she was a brilliant and terrifying woman. So she basically, her father was a secretary to the Count d'Armagnac, who was the master of the horse for King Louis XIV, which basically meant that he was in charge of training King Louis's pages and managing the royal stables. So Julie grew up at the Tuileries Palace in Paris before moving to Versailles in 1682 and growing up in the great stables. She dressed as a boy, she was taught fencing, she was taught all the traditional male skills that you would get in the 1600s, and that mostly kind of came down to war. And she was really, really good at it. But she was good at something else too, namely brilliant at romancing people. And she ended up romancing the master of the horse, Count d'Armagnac, who was her father's boss. In order to neutralize this threat, she was married off to a person called Le Sieur Maupin, and that's how she becomes La Maupin. She runs away.
I love the name.
Right? It's so great. I feel like she sounds like, well, she sounds like Zorro, you know? She's La
Maupin. Is it pain as in pain bread?
Nah, just Maupin.
Oh, right.
And she ran away. So she ran away from the palace at the age of 16, and because she fell in love with a fencing master called Serran. And they were totally poor in Marseille. And,
you see, that sounds really romantic.
I know, right?
But she was a murderous, horrible person.
No, she was kind of cool, but she was just living
in the 1600s. She bit someone's ear off. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Well, he might have deserved it.
I mean, yeah.
Don't look at me like that. You look bite my ear off.
You've got your headphones on.
Honestly, like, I can tell you, she was a little bit of a hero. She was a chaotic hero, but she was a bit of a hero. So she started, she and the fencing master are poor in Marseille, and they started making money giving fencing demonstrations. Right. One of these, a man refused to believe that she was a woman because she was so good at sword fighting, in response to which she just stripped. To prove that she was a woman in the middle of the town. She then began her singing career with the Marseille Opera, and it was at this point in her life that she fell in love with a young woman who was in the audience. The girl's name is not known, but her family immediately sent her to a convent in Avignon. Julie followed her to the convent and staged a breakout. She placed the body of an elderly nun who died of natural causes into the girl's cell and set fire to the convent. Then they were on the run together for 3 months, in which time Julie was sentenced to death in absentia by the parliament in Provence under the name Sieur de Maupin, her abandoned husband, because the judges couldn't admit the possibility of one woman abducting another. However, she was then pardoned by the king after escaping to Brussels. She came back because she was pardoned by the king of France. She eventually abandoned...
Do we know why he pardoned her?
Basically, someone interceded on her behalf because they thought that she was so gorgeous and brilliant. Someone quite high up in the court. So she eventually abandoned the girl that she'd kidnapped from the convent and fell in love with another person, this time a young man called Comte d'Albert, who challenged her to a duel. She beat him, knocked him senseless, wounded him, and then nursed him back to health, and they remained lifelong friends. This was all before she was 17, at which point she was hired by the opera in Paris.
Quite hard to keep up with all of this, isn't it? She's not even 18 yet.
Whoa. I know, but don't worry, if you're getting a little bit overwhelmed, we're nearly halfway through. So at which point, when she was 17, she was hired by the opera in Paris. She became a star, was pardoned for crimes by the king, and appeared in all of the opera's major productions from 1690 to 1694. It was here that she became La Maupin. She was, however, she didn't give up on women. So interestingly, she went to a court ball in men's clothes and kissed a young woman in the middle of the dance floor in front of everyone, which particularly
annoyed...
What
was the kind of... Set the atmosphere there. Was it okay to be gay at this point or not?
Absolutely not. No one else would have been doing this.
They thought it was a bloke.
Right. Oh, right.
And she was challenged to a sword fight by three men at once, all of whom wanted to marry this young woman that she just basically scooped up, you know, swept off her feet and kissed in front of everyone. All three men fought her at the same time, and she defeated all of them sword fighting in her
mental. Don't tell me she was 17 and a half at this point.
No, by this point she was 21. But King Louis had outlawed duels, and so she fled the country again to Brussels, where she became the lover of the Elector of Bavaria. After various misadventures, including filling Countess Marino's hair with radishes, she was pardoned again by the king thanks to the intervention of his brother, who also adored her. She performed again for the opera.
She must have been a stunning woman to...
She really was. She really was. So apparently she had like this long kind of brown burgundy hair and bright blue eyes and just, you know, was this fiercely strong fencing master and sword fighter, but also loved like wearing dresses and was a beautiful opera singer.
I think I want to be this woman.
I know, right? Me too.
Do you believe in reincarnation? You never know.
Well, could have been me. There's a song there somewhere.
Well, you know what? And so she went back to the opera and then she was defending... There she defended chorus girls against lecherous barons. She fell in love with the famously beautiful woman, Fanchon Moreau, and tried to kill herself at one point and also threatened to blow the Duchess of Luxembourg's brains out. I'm not sure why she did that. In 1703, though, she fell in love with Madame la Marquise de Florensac, the most beautiful woman in France, according to Saint-Simon, writing in 1897. La Marquise was so beautiful that she had to flee to Brussels for several years because the king was obsessed with her. And then La Marquise and Julie lived together. They fell in love, and according to one account, they lived for 2 years in the same house before Florensac died early of a fever. Julie was so heartbroken and possibly mischievous that she retired to a convent where she died at the age of 33 of a fever. And she's been the subject of books, films, TV shows, plays, and a ballet.
Wow.
Wow. What a life.
Yeah.
I know.
Whoa.
How old was she when she died?
33.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but she'd already packed three lives in.
I know.
Jeez.
God, dear. That was a whirlwind of a journey, wasn't it? And I wasn't the one doing the talking for a change.
I'm buzzing here.
I kind of had to whip you through it because, you know, I mean, you could go on forever about Julie Daubigny, but she really is the most brilliant woman. And then our second person who...
Is this the bisexual, gender fluid Swedish queens?
Yes. You
are the dancing queen. Sorry, it got to be done, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, I never know if I should talk. It feels like sacrilege to talk over Abba.
Absolutely, I'm with you there. Do you want to borrow my stick so you can just hit him?
Yeah, that'd be good. Thanks.
Oi.
Practice my Le Maupin.
You can take it all three of us.
No, but quickly, I will tell you that Christina was born in Stockholm on December 8th, 1626, to Maria Eleanor of Brandenburg and King Gustavus Adolphus of Sweden, the Lion of the North. Her father was disappointed that she wasn't a boy, and actually there's some confusion that possibly she was hormonally intersex, because when she was born she was very hairy, she had a deep voice, she was much larger than it was believed that she should have been, and other accounts. And so her father ordered that she be raised as a boy, although he died when she was six, that kind of stuck. So she took her coronation oath at 18 as a king, not a queen, which and that wasn't normal for the time either. She should have been taking a coronation as a queen, but everyone kind of said that she was a king. And I'm calling her a she here because we're very ambiguous on her gender. I'm going to say that either she was gender fluid, like non-binary, intersex, or possibly an early trans man, but I'm not sure.
Right.
She was often referred to as the girl king. She loved ballet, opera, theatre and horse riding, but she also loved science and philosophy, and she was a brilliant military genius and soldier. In 1649, she invited the philosopher Descartes to her court, and in general surrounded herself with philosophers and scientists. Now, Descartes you might know from being that bloke who said, "I think, therefore I am," which kind of important.
One of my most favourite sayings, that one.
Well, it's an important bit of philosophy.
I thunked it. So I is.
So the Bristolian equivalent. Yeah. That would make a very good jingle, that really would.
Wait, so she and then there's
so not sounding
awesome...
so murderous so far.
No,
Queen, and violent.
Queen Christi- well, she did have one person murdered in her presence for foiling her plan to become Queen of the Netherlands. But you know, anyway, it's the 1600s.
But she didn't go around like burning nuns and eloping with.
Nuns.
Well, let's be clear. She didn't burn nuns. She burnt the nunnery down. Not.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
A person who was already dead.
Right, exactly. She
so
framed
she burnt
the
nun.
Death. She pretended that the
was she might be dead.
Anyway,
let her get on with it.
Yeah. Sorry.
In the year 1649, Christina named her cousin Charles the. T- 10th Gustav as her heir, and on 5th of June 1654 she abdicated the throne. Now there's also different theories as to why she did this. Some people think it was to convert to Catholicism, other people think it was because she didn't want to marry, and that kind of adds a little bit of evidence to the whole question of her sexuality, like she didn't want to be forced to marry a man. Descriptions of Queen Christina said that she was, in inverted commas, mannish, with a deep voice and uneven shoulders. She dressed and acted like a man. However, people found her very charismatic. She was intelligent, she was passionate and well-spoken. And it's possible that she was bisexual or even a lesbian. She supposedly had an affair with the Countess Ebba Spa, who she called Belle, which is obviously the French word for beautiful, and described as her bedfellow. She allegedly has a secret engagement at the same time with her cousin, Charles Gustave, and some think she was the lover of her lifelong friend, Cardinal Decio Azzolino. Whew. Some people have argued that Christina was intersex, and for this reason, scientists studied her remains in 1965, but results were inconclusive because we didn't have any soft tissue left over, so we just had the skeleton. After she abdicated, she moved to Rome and converted to Catholicism. And here's the slightly sticky part, because she did have a French marquise murdered after he betrayed her plans to become Queen of Naples. Sorry, not the Netherlands, Naples. She died in 1689 and is one of few women to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica. Whilst there is a lot of confusion about her identity, like I said, Queen Christina could have been a trans man, could have been gender fluid, because she seemed to occupy both female and male roles very comfortably and liked people referring to her in both of those pronouns, and could have been bisexual, could have been a lesbian. She became a symbol of lesbianism and cross-dressing in the 20th century and inspired many plays and musicals. And overall, I think that if nothing else, she's a really good early example of gender fluidity and fluid sexuality. And she was a queen, which, you know, she wasn't some random person on the street. She was No, I just mean that, like, I think that when we think about LGBT people in history, we tend to imagine, you know, at its best, people like La Maupin, like kind of violent rebels who are escaping from the law and constantly kind of on the run. But actually, you know, there were people who occupied fluid notions of gender and sexuality in positions of very great power and great respect and renown, and people who were intelligent and lived long lives and were buried in honor. And I feel like we can claim that too and be proud of that too.
But yet the community around them was still really anti-LGBT, were they? Or is that just our... Because history's got rewritten over the years and we're not quite sure.
Yeah.
Could it have been a case of it was actually more acceptable back then than we think it was?
It's difficult to know because, for example, Queen Christina's court was very comfortable calling her a king and kind of with her wearing men's clothes and doing men's things. And that might be because of her father. But as I mentioned, he did die when she was six. So... I mean, we've got several other accounts, certainly with royals, where if someone doesn't like what the king said, then you kind of ignore it and possibly stage, you know, a quiet assassination. Yes. And I feel like if there had really been a problem with that, the court would have been able to do something about it. And they obviously didn't, which suggests that there wasn't. Also, René Descartes came to the court of his own choice. So, yeah.
Thank you, Ella. Thank you.
Listen, your history has gone down an absolute tree. People are loving it.
It's left me buzzing.
To the point where we're probably actually going to get together and do a shout-out After Dark special.
Yeah. And we've already I've got you booked in for part four.
Yeah. Sounds like there was enough tyrants around for it, didn't it?
I think next week we've got Jane on with Queer Vision, but in 2 weeks' time we've got an absolute exclusive special. We got the Metro Mayors in.
Yes, yes. And we're after your questions for it.
Yes, we are. So that's on the 16th, and they'll be live in the studio. Four of the five are going to be live in the studio.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, the Metro Mayors, the makeup of it's about four of the counties, isn't
it's
it?
South Gloucestershire, Bristol, North Somerset. And the Baines.
So, but yeah, want your questions. studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt is the address you want for that. Anyway, that is it for this week. As another reminder, though, don't forget, if you've got any views on the things we were talking about with religion in our community, we do want to hear those
too.
Yes,
we do. Also, we want your questions about the potential Metro Mayors, which we just mentioned.
Email us or message us via our website,
shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Until then, join us next week when, as we said, we're hopefully going to be talking films with Jane, aren't we?
I'm out of breath. I need to lie down. Yeah.
Anyway, from myself and the team, say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.